VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us for this Friday news roundup and comment. Comments coming from you later inside of this hour. We'll be opening up the phone lines and asking for you to call across VCY America. In for Jim Schneider, I am Dalton Windsor, and again, thankful to have you with us this morning. Thankful, or this afternoon, whatever, wherever it is where you are, whatever it is where you are today, thankful to have Sandy's help. Sandy has been compiling stories all this week, and we will say on the onset here that I think this show today, this news program and show and information is free of any UFO stories. So we'll just leave that one as it is and get right to some of the news that, want to know about. Possibly hearing a news there at the top of the hour with a SRN through the network. Here is a lead story from UPI.com that President Joe Biden and other world leaders praised the ceasefire agreement between Israel and the Palestinian militant group Hamas that took place early Friday, of course, Israel's time. The Israeli Security Cabinet unanimously agreed to the Egyptian brokered deal without any preconditions on Thursday, taking effect at 2 a.m. Friday. Both Israel and Hamas have claimed victory in the conflict, which is interesting. In a tweet early today, Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi thanked Biden, saying that he shared the president's emphasis on diplomacy for managing the conflict. Biden said that he spoke with Benjamin Netanyahu six times in recent days, and also Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, quote, more than once. Biden saying that Netanyahu Thursday of his full support to help replenish Israel's Iron Dome defense system that was used to combat rocket attacks by Hamas. The U.S. will also be providing humanitarian assistance to the people of Gaza in a partnership with the Palestinian Authority, saying that the efforts will keep Hamas from restocking its military arsenal. So, obviously, great news to see this come to a ceasefire. Oh, if it could only be a permanent thing. History shows that that's never the case. News out of Cairo and the Associated Press, Egypt yesterday, Thursday, reasserted itself as an indispensable mediator in the Middle East after it successfully brokered a ceasefire deal in the short but costly Israel-Hamas war that did kill scores of people and caused much destruction in the Gaza Strip. It is the latest instance in which Egypt has served as a mediator between Israel and Gaza's ruling militant Hamas group, which have fought four wars in just over a decade. Now, thinking geographically here, Egypt borders both Israel and the Gaza Strip and has been a key player since Israel withdrew troops from Gaza in 2005 and Hamas seized the territory in 2007. Now, since the latest outbreak here, the 11-day war, Egypt worked to provide a framework that both sides could agree on. The role Egypt played in mediating the conflict could help improve the strained ties between President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi's government and the new U.S. administration. President Joe Biden spoke for the first time yesterday with the Egyptian president since Biden had taken office. So the peace talks and the ceasefire and all now headline news, and we're obviously glad to hear these things. But there have been talks, we know, for many, many administrations before, most recently with President Trump and the peace agreements and the talks and the things that took place over, you know, just the past 4 years during the Trump administration. Getting this from Town Hall News this week, speaking to reporters on board Air Force One, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki rejected and dismissed the Abraham Accords. Remember hearing about those? The Abraham Accords. They've dismissed those, which are official peace and business agreements between the U.S., Israel, Bahrain, and the UAE. They dismissed these as tactics of the prior administration. Quote that, tactics of the prior administration, end of quote. Psaki said, we are not following the tactics of the prior administration. Aside from putting together a peace proposal that was dead on arrival, we don't think they did anything constructive to really bring an end to the long-standing conflict in the Middle East. Here from the Daily Wire. Shocker here. Headline says that Black Lives Matter declaring solidarity with Hamas in Israel conflict. The official Black Lives Matter organization declared its solidarity being its unity, its agreement with Palestinians. Writing on Twitter, Black Lives Matter's official account noted that it will always be partnered with the cause of Palestinian liberation. Black Lives Matter, also standing not only for the solidarity of Palestinians, but also defunding the police, still demanding the conviction and banning of President Trump from future political office, and also expelling Republicans from members of Congress, from seats of Congress. These are just some of the things that they stand for. Here is from Israel. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu claimed Friday in the latest round of fighting with the Gaza Strip, saying that Israel's 11-day counter-terror operation did cause serious damage to Hamas, the Hamas terrorist organization. Netanyahu said that the Gaza-based terror group Hamas had suffered far worse damage than media reports have indicated. Quote, we hit the terror group hard. The public doesn't know everything yet, nor does Hamas. Our accomplishments will be revealed in time. At this point, I can say that we did bold, unprecedented things without getting drawn into unnecessary adventures, said Netanyahu. This comes hours after a ceasefire went into effect, ending the Operation Guardian of the Walls with no ground incursion into the Gaza Strip. He said, we managed to cause serious harm to Hamas with minimal harm to Israel. The prime minister vowed that Israel has zero tolerance for rocket attacks, warning Hamas that the IDF would respond even to a small number of rocket launches. Netanyahu touted Israel's Iron Wall, a subterranean detection system used to foil terrorist infiltrations into Israel via underground tunnels, saying, every time the terrorists approached, they were destroyed underground. As we've already spoken in this program, these first 10 minutes of the program, the ceasefire went into effect on at 2 a.m. Friday. Some 200 terrorists from Hamas and Islamic Jihad were eliminated during the operation, including 25 terrorist commanders, five of them top officials. WorldNet Daily, multiple Democratic lawmakers are endorsing policies to minimize Israel's ability to fight back against their would-be attackers. Back on May the 5th, the Biden administration notified Congress that it was approving a $735 million arms sale to Israel, that according to the Washington Post. That was 5 days, if we look back on this, that was 5 days before Hamas began sending what has since become more than 4,000 rockets into Israel, triggering the recent Israeli retaliatory strike on Gaza that we've been speaking about here. That formal notification triggered a 15-day period for Congress to object. Democratic Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont was set to introduce a resolution yesterday to disapprove the sale. That according to a draft of the resolution that was obtained by the Post. The devastation in Gaza is unconscionable, Sanders said. It would be appalling for the Biden administration to go through with $735 million in precision-guided weaponry to Netanyahu without any strings attached in the wake of escalating violence and attacks on civilians. So, and actually what we just stated there, how it would be appalling for the Biden administration to go through with that, with the $735 million in precision-guided weaponry to Netanyahu without any strings attached in the wake of escalating violence and attacks on citizens, that was actually said by Democratic Representative Ilhan Omar of Minnesota. So both Bernie Sanders and Ilhan Omar weighing in. Here from Jihad Watch. Back in 2019, hate crimes in L.A. County against black people fell 13%. Hate crimes against gays fell 22%. Hate crimes against Mexicans fell 9%, while hate crimes against Jews rose 18%. 89% of anti-religious hate crimes targeted Jews, only 7% affected Muslims. If you listen to the media, you would get the opposite impression with coverage that ignored the anti-Semitism to focus on racism, homophobia, and Islamophobia. Instead, California Democrats moved to impose the ethnic studies curriculum, which would embed the teaching of BDS and anti-Semitic tropes into the educational system. Jewish protests against this government-mandated anti-Semitism were ignored, and by last year, 2020, the anti-Semitic wave had moved well beyond words. During the Jewish holiday of Shavuot, a Black Lives Matter LA hate march marched toward Pan Pacific Park, which included a Holocaust museum. That rally passed near the Fairfax area and degenerated into a race riot, which assaulted Jewish stores and synagogues. At least one of those synagogues was defaced with graffiti reading Free Palestine. And the Shavuot happened again. It happened again. This time the perpetrators were Muslims brandishing PLO terror flags in one of the pro-terrorist car rally pickup trucks. We're up against the break here, and it's one we must take quickly before going to get into some good news here. The National Guard is set to leave D.C. this week by this coming Sunday after over 4 months with a presence at the nation's capital. Defense Department's Press Secretary John Kirby said in a news conference Tuesday that 2,149 National Guard troops, God bless them all, they will return home this week after there were no further requests to extend their mission. And at its height, some 5,200 National Guard personnel were stationed at the Capitol in the fallout of the riot on January 6th, and the fencing was erected around the building. The mission had already been extended once from March to May the 23rd, and now the great news that the National Guard is leaving the location there in Washington, D.C. There's plenty more ahead, including we'll be hearing from a 10-year-old in Florida who simply wants to breathe. You don't want to miss this story. Stay with us. Crosstalk will continue on the VCY America Radio Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, when we look at humanity, where do all the different skin colors come from?
Chris, of course, all our traits are controlled by our genes, and they've always been quite mysterious. Now, as the human genome has been decoded, the mystery of the origin of skin color has not been solved. We can't figure out what controls the genes. Evidently, there's something behind the genes that turns them on and off and controls how long they operate. Here at the Institute for Creation Research, we're researching this, and I predict that many of these plaguing problems will soon be solved. One thing for certain, it won't be solved by claiming the genes randomly mutated. They were created by an intelligent designer, the designer that's mentioned back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
We'll be right back.
This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Radio Network. Friday news roundup and comment. We'll be opening up the telephones here soon to, allow you time to comment on what these headlines and such is taking place and what you would like to weigh in on. Must continue here with another one from the Daily Wire. President Joe Biden's administration is reportedly preparing to contract with private firms to surveil the social media accounts of service members to weed out those with views that the administration deems concerning. Now, we just talked about our military heroes and many of those being allowed to leave Washington, D.C., beginning yesterday. Well, this report saying that the alleged pilot program will search for certain keywords to identify those that the administration deems to be potential extremists, although experts warn that the method was not only an invasion of privacy, but flawed. Quote, using keywords to monitor social media isn't just an unnecessary privacy invasion, it is a flawed strategy that will ensure it is short-lived. This from retired FBI agent Mike German. It will undoubtedly produce a flood of false positives that will waste security resources and undermine morale without identifying the real problem, which is the tolerance for those that openly engage in racist behavior and discrimination. Now, this plan under Biden being discussed, according to multiple sources, would in effect allow the department to circumvent laws that limit what the federal government can do in surveilling U.S. citizens without a warrant. We will keep you posted on that one. You have that feeling you're being watched, or it may be something that you know that just happens to be true. But what about on your social media and the things that you type, the things that you write and that you type in your emails, your personal email, or maybe your social media? Maybe it's for digital documents that you use at your workplace or your home business. If you've ever used Google Docs, many of us have. In fact, I would use those, have some here in front of me. Well, Google Docs, a new feature there, will soon be prompting users like you, possibly me, will be prompting users to write in gender-neutral language in an attempt to avoid offending anyone in the workplace. Say you are using your digital Google Doc and you wanted to make notes on one of your last business meetings where the chairman of the board was present. If you were to choose to type the word chairman, Google Docs is going to prompt you to not use chairman, but would suggest words like chairperson. Because you cannot use the term chairman in your Google Doc. It will prompt you to say chairperson. Or maybe you choose to write a blog or a commentary and you're using your Google Docs and you're going to write something complimentary about your local city, your police and fire department, and you wanted to commend the firemen there for saving the lives of some people. You cannot say fireman. You cannot use the word fireman because it needs to be gender neutral if you're going to use Google Docs. So Google Docs is going to prompt you to say or choose to use the word firefighter instead. So we'll see how this one would continue. Now, this is just out this week, and this also suggests replacing phrases such as man hours with more inclusive terms like person hours. I don't quite understand how it's offensive to talk about firefighters in their person, firemen. Wow. Moving right along, here from the Western Journal, the Biden administration posting a reward for anyone who can tell it how to find violent extremists in law enforcement. The Department of Homeland Security has put $500,000 on the table to fund research projects aimed at determining how violent extremists are infiltrating the police. This kind of goes back to what we were talking about just a story back or so. Objectives of this effort will identify high-quality data to understand the risk posed to the United States by the potential for violent extremist organizations or lone actors to infiltrate law enforcement agencies, or LEAs, law enforcement agencies, and other government institutions. The DHS says that the federal government needs to know more about the threats posed by the police. Reviewing and analyzing research from fields such as criminology, mental health, psychology, and sociology will help determine gaps in current knowledge and counter the threats posed by violent extremist and violent ideologies to the United States LEAs, that would be the United States law enforcement agencies, and the public, it said. Shift gears here and look into Chicago. This one from Fox News. Reporters out of Chicago are alleging that Democratic Mayor Lori Lightfoot is now granting interviews only to journalists of color. NBC 5 Chicago political reporter Mary Ann Ahern took to Twitter on Tuesday this week to mark the, quote, midway point of Lightfoot's first term in office and apparently acknowledged her failed effort to land an interview. And she tweeted, Ahern tweeted, as Chicago mayor reaches her two-year midway point as mayor, her spokeswoman says that Lightfoot is granting one interview only to black or brown journalists. And apparently Ahern wasn't the only one. A anchor from WTTW Chicago said, I was told the same thing. And Chicago politics reporter Heather Sharon also tweeted, I can confirm. It is unclear when such a practice was enacted and if it only applies to local reporters. But in a time where so many are being accused of racist acts, racist mindsets, here is a mayor of a major city only granting interviews to journalists of color. Here from the Christian Post, a decorated U.S. Army chaplain is now appealing actions taken against him that could end his career after he voiced support on his personal social media page for a military policy preventing trans-identified individuals from serving in the military. Chaplain Major Andrew Calvert is contesting the reprimand from the U.S. Army after he commented on a January 25th news article about the Biden administration's intentions of dropping President Donald Trump's ban on trans-identified men and women who serve in the military. This Chaplain Major Calvert was issued a General Officer Memorandum of Reprimand, that's a mouthful, back on April 22nd after anonymous screenshots were sent to the 3rd Forces Assistance Brigade's Facebook account of his January 25th comments. A First Liberty Institute General Counsel Mike Berry wrote in a May 12th letter, although Chaplain Calvert's sincerely held religious beliefs might overlap with what some view as political issues, service members are permitted, they are permitted to express their opinions on such matters. As a reminder, Chaplain Calvert merely expressed his sincerely held religious belief that was, at the time he expressed it, wholly consistent with the DOD policy. We'll see how that one will pan out. So, up against another break, and we promised to visit the story out of Florida. Martin County, Florida, there was a big school board meeting. And as are many meetings across the country right now, many parents are fed up with the mask mandates in their schools. And, well, a young 10-year-old chose to voice his opinion. Realize we're shifting gears here once again, but want to get this before we're up against our next break. But a 10-year-old took to the school board to address his concerns for himself and and his school.
I just turned 10 years old, and I am a fourth grader at Felix A. Williams. I expected school to be a little bit different in the beginning, but I didn't think it would stay this way all year long, and I was surprised by the rules. A lot of them didn't make any sense to me, like the fact that we were not allowed to play on the playground or have student council, or turn to face each other at lunch, and we also have to wear masks outside at PE and on track. I love my school and all, but my teachers seem really stressed, and that makes me feel bad. One teacher walks around with a clipboard full of referrals for any student whose mask isn't on properly. It makes me feel scared. That same teacher yells at us having our masks down to drink water while we are outside in car line. She told us we had to wait until we were in our parents' car to have a drink of water. She had her mask down the entire time while she was yelling at us, which makes me and all my friends very mad. This happens a lot. And it seems unfair teachers take their masks off while they yell at us kids and that we need to pull ours up. I asked my mom if there is a word for this, and she said there is. Hypocrisy. Wearing a mask all day makes me feel really tired and gives me really bad headaches. My mask also sticks to my face when it's really hot, and it makes it hard to breathe. I feel like I can't catch my breath, and that makes me feel claustrophobic and anxious. It's really stressful. I finished taking all of my FSAs, and I had a hard time focusing with a mask on. A few weeks ago, I ran into my teacher outside of school. She didn't even recognize me because she's never seen my face before. But I knew it was her because she sits at her desk a lot without a mask on. I know my teacher has asthma and everything, but I understand why it's hard for her to wear a mask, and I think she should have that choice. But I should too. I have allergies, and I feel really anxious with my face covered, but I'm not allowed a mask break like her. It seems unfair. All this seems unfair, and it doesn't make sense. I miss seeing people's face. I miss the way things used to be. I'm scared they'll never go back to normal. Breathing freely doesn't seem like something we should have to ask any other people for permission for. Please make masks optional today. It would be so awesome to end the school year on a really happy note like that. Thank you for your time.
Well, a brave young man, 10 years old, Martin County, Florida, school board meeting, and he, along with many others, voiced their concern about at least giving people the option, giving students the option, not keeping masks as a mandate. Well, the school board, just to wrap this one up, did go ahead and support the mask mandate for the final 12 days of school, and then saying that masks will be optional moving forward past that, but going ahead and finishing up the school year as it is, and then letting masks be optional, I assume maybe for summer activities, for school, the return in the fall, which will be here before we know it, whatever the case might be there. But obviously proud of that young man. And since we've shifted gears, we'll stay on the coronavirus and vaccines for just a little bit on the other side of this break, and then begin taking your phone calls at 1-800-733-9829. If you'd like to get on board, we'll chat with you as well. 1-800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk.
Do you find yourself guilty of committing the same sin over and over again? You confess it, but you find yourself repeating it again. The Bible tells us that we are to mortify or put to death the deeds of the flesh. For believers, this becomes a daily challenge as the internal struggles ensue. Sadly, many fall into repeating patterns of sin and struggle sincerely with knowing how to break free. In the book, Killing Sin Habits, author Stuart Scott addresses the repetitive nature and pattern of sin and the hindrances that keep people from overcoming their sinful habits. He also provides practical insight as to how God, through the work of the Holy Spirit and radical faith, can help you have victory over sin in your life. He addresses the issue of genuine repentance and provides a detailed battle plan for killing sin habits in our lives. The booklet, Killing Sin Habits, is available for a donation of $12 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
Crosstalk on the VCY America Radio Network, in for Jim Schneider. This is Dalton Windsor. A couple of more quick stories on masks, the coronavirus, and vaccines. Some really good news, positive news out of the state of Texas. And Texas Governor Abbott, really a couple of stories out of Texas. The first one being the headline, Governor Abbott, zero COVID deaths for the first time since tracking began there. Now, to go back here, in March of 2021, when Governor Abbott ended his state's mask mandate, lifting all coronavirus restrictions, he was condemned by President Joe Biden. Biden saying that Abbott was making, quote, a big mistake and was guilty of, quote, Neanderthal thinking. Well, sharing the news via a late-night Sunday tweet, Governor Greg Abbott of Texas, sharing this news, announcing Sunday was the first day with no COVID deaths since March of 2020 when tracking began. It was their first day without a COVID death. Abbott said in his tweet, "Today, Texas reported zero COVID-related deaths, the only time that's happened since data was tracked in March 2020. Now the fewest COVID cases in over 13 months, the lowest 7-day COVID positivity rate ever, the lowest COVID hospitalizations in 11 months. Thank you, Texas." A tweet from Governor Greg Abbott. And a related story that we want to keep it on the same subject here for a couple more, but we're going to come back and visit another story out of Texas from Governor Abbott here shortly. Here from the state of Oregon, as many states begin to loosen their mask mandates following a swell of COVID-19 vaccinations, several are grappling with how to enforce allowing only vaccinated people to go mask-free in public places. In the state of Oregon, the government is requiring business proprietors, workplace managers, and even leaders in the houses of worship to demand documentation of vaccination for anyone going maskless within their walls. They're saying you don't have to wear a mask if you've had your vaccine. The Oregon Health Authority issued this new guidance earlier this week, stating that businesses would be required to continue to enforce mask requirements unless they have established a policy to confirm proof of vaccination using a card or a photo of one before allowing individuals to enter their premises without a mask. Now, along with that story, hear from LifeSite News. A Colorado physician, maybe this will be the answer. Maybe this will help with these issues. So you say you've had your vaccine, right? Prove it. Okay. In Colorado, someone is selling, that's a key word here, selling a scannable bracelet called Immuniband, designed to provide proof of coronavirus vaccination in public. It's a wristband. It displays a QR code linked to personal vaccination records. Wearers must upload their vaccination card for review to receive the band and have the option of adding their name to the bracelet, as well as the type of coronavirus vaccine that they received. All bracelets will read COVID vaccinated. This doctor, Dr. Burton, designed Immuniband as a way for restaurants to assure customers that they are in a safe environment that takes COVID-19 seriously. After however many months we've been dealing with coronavirus, surely no one hasn't taken this seriously. No one's making it light of it or making a joke of it. We realize the weight and the severity of this. We've all lived through this for the past several months. But it seems now that wearing a mask was never enough. Now, possibly also a band to prove to others that you've been vaccinated. If you'd like to go without a mask, now you wear the band. This mentions a restaurant in Philadelphia, as well as other restaurants in L.A. and Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, are among those that have adopted the Immuniband bracelet feature, just to proudly brandish to let everyone know that you have had your vaccine. Looks like the lines are packed. We need to hear from you. 1-800-733-9829. We will go, looky here, in Oregon. Is that a city or is that the state, Karen? It is the state, so we'll go to Kathleen. We thank you for your call today. Kathleen, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yes.
So I was calling to comment on that child in Florida who got up at the school council meeting to complain about the mask-wearing mandates at his school. My impression, you know, he was very, very brave of him to speak like that. But it seems like a failure of parenting here. The whole reason he's being asked to wear a mask is to protect the people around him and the people who are vulnerable. It's not that hard to work out in your mask. I do it all the time, and I see kids do it all the time. And I think his parents are encouraging him to complain about his personal inconvenience rather than think about the greater good.
All right. Kathleen, thank you for your comments today, and we'll all commend the young man on his sure word and his confidence to get up and let his voice be heard, something that everyone certainly has a right to do here in our country. Thank you, Kathleen. George in Olney, Illinois, thank you for your call today.
I just wanted to make a comment as far as giving God the credit. You know, he's the one who made America great in the first place, and he's Amen. The one who is going to make America great again or not. But it does depend upon us to make a choice, because as the last caller just said, we have a choice. Let us make the right choice, because Alpha and Omega is the beginning and the end. That's Genesis and Revelation. And if you read all the way through it, it says that God knows the beginning from the end. And if you want to be a part of it, you're going to have to submit to God, resist the devil, and the devil is going to flee.
All right, George. I'll say amen to that. Thank you for your call today. 1-800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. I want to grab just one or two more here quickly while we're on the subject of the virus and vaccines. Hear what is going on at Delta Airlines. They are now requiring all new employees to be vaccinated against the virus that causes COVID-19, one of the first U.S. companies to mandate the vaccination. The company saying in a statement, Delta will require all new hires in the U.S. to be vaccinated against COVID-19 unless they qualify for an accommodation. So that would be the first of a mandate of U.S. companies to do that through Delta Airlines. Let's go to Joplin, Missouri. Deborah, you are on Crosstalk. Thank you for calling.
Hi there. I initially called because I was had a lot to say about the Google Docs situation, where I'm actually an attorney. I don't practice. I'm licensed. I had a job a couple years ago after returning from being a staying-at-home mom, and I was shocked and actually appalled and disgusted when the employer told me that all the wills and trusts and private documents between attorneys and clients were all going to be done on Google Docs, and they were excited about being paperless. And I'm old enough to say I was shocked by that, because all I could say was, that stuff's not private. What about the confidentiality between attorneys and clients? When you invite or you use those formats, I guess I would say, there's no longer a privacy. And now here we are, that was a couple years ago. Now I just heard you talking about how Google Docs is going to be prompting users to use this gender-neutral terminology, because they are intrusively involved in the users' using of their product. But this speaks to a bigger problem, and it's that PPP, that private-public partnership that I'm going to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I'm going to say it anyway because people need to hear it, that this new world order, this universal government, it's a push to use corporations to partner with public governments to be the enforcers of everything. And that's trickling down into every area you're talking about today, whether it's Delta forcing vaccinated employees or, you know, it doesn't matter what corporation it is, but they're all forcing this agenda, and it's disgusting. And I just want to say, if I'm hogging up too much air, that I disagree with the person who called in about that young boy in Florida. He wasn't speaking to complain. He was speaking to exercise a liberty-loving right given by God, protected by the Constitution, to say the things of your heart. He caused no harm to anyone else, and that's doing it for the greater good. It's not so hard. That is language straight out of the Marxist playbook. It's disgusting.
Deborah, Joplin, Missouri, we thank you for the call today on Crosstalk.
Love your show.
All
thanks.
Right.
Bye.
1-800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. Quickly, another headline, just about the last one we'll have time for today. The CDC is saying that students should continue wearing masks for the remainder of the school year. And frankly, the school year is almost finished. The updated recommendation came May 15, 2 days after the agency announced that anyone who is fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask or physical distancing. As only people age 12 and up are currently eligible to receive a COVID vaccine, millions of school-aged children are still unprotected from the virus, says the agency. And the CDC saying in its recommendation, systems and policy adjustments may be required for schools to change mask requirements for students and staff while continuing to ensure the safety of unvaccinated populations. But the fact remains, we're coming up, you know, the end of one school year and what will be in place for the coming year. And quite possibly it is that the school board in Florida, you know, extending their mask mandate for the rest of the year, just 12 more days, and then making them optional moving forward. If that includes school in the fall, then I'm sure there will be a great applause there. Quickly before the break that we're up against, Courtney in Miami, Florida, thank you for the call.
God bless you. I'm going to try to make this real fast. God bless all you saints out there. But I want to say something. I'm so sick of this racial mess. I'm a brown Gentile. I love everybody. God made us all one race, a human race. But I want to say this. I go to prayer, and I ask for the peace of Israel. But I also say, I'm going to say this right fast, chapter 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. It was his stripes, and we are healed. I ask God to open that up to the Jewish people. And this I also ask for him to open, to give them, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. In John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Yes.
Saints, it's time to lift up the name of Jesus. And that young man that went to his teachers and told them that, man, little boy, you had the right, and God's given you the right to say what you want. And with the Corvallis, all this mask wearing and all that, that's nothing but to control your lives. I put my trust in God every day.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. We now have over 150 generals and admirals, flag officers, that have signed something that is historic. It's a letter warning the American people we are falling into Marxism. Folks, this has never happened. We have never had 150 generals, and the list may be higher than that now, sign a letter warning the American people we're rolling into Marxism and that there were issues with the election. We also now have a Space Force commander that has been fired simply by expressing his views, his concerns about Marxism. He has been relieved of his duty, Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer. Folks, we are in a pre-Marxist revolution right now in America, and those who think it's conspiracy, well, they might want to check with the generals and admirals who just signed the letter warning America it is now underway. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House.
Crosstalk continues here on the VCY America Radio Network. We'll get back to the phones here very quickly. But before we do, we mentioned another story that we wanted to share out of Texas and the governor there, Governor Abbott. Now, we've already covered the good news on the in the great state of Texas and the statistics that Governor Abbott tweeted earlier this week, saying they just experienced their lowest COVID-related news since they began tracking over a year ago in March of 2020. And even though, despite the criticism by the White House, they called Governor Abbott a Neanderthal, said he was guilty of Neanderthal thinking, that he was making a big mistake. And then as of this last Sunday, they were thankfully blessed to be able to report zero COVID-related deaths, the only time that that had happened since, saying that they'd had their first day in the state without a death attributed to COVID. So praise God for that. Now, along those lines, this is something else that we need to be privy to. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has stated today the amount of fentanyl the U.S. border agents intercepted at the Texas-Mexico border has increased by 800% in April compared to the same month the previous year. And he's told this to Fox News. Yes, there may be people coming across the border, but there are dangerous drugs coming across the border with them. Governor Abbott said, we had almost an 800% increase April over April of the amount of fentanyl that has been apprehended by the Texas Department of Public Safety, noting that the amount of fentanyl intercepted is enough to kill every single person in the state of New York. On the national level, with regard to the Border Patrol, they apprehended last month, in the month of April, more than 170,000 people. That is a tenfold increase over the prior April, where they apprehended about 17,000 people. And if you don't know, when you hear about fentanyl, 50 times more potent than heroin, 100 times stronger than the effects of morphine, that according to the FDA. And local law enforcement agencies are confiscating illegal shipments of the drug in record numbers. Let's go back to the telephones. John is in Michigan. John, you're on Crosstalk.
Yes, good afternoon, and you're doing a great filling job, so thank you so much. My question is, whatever happened to HIPAA privacy, and why would you put your whole life out on social media? And people could turn around and say, you said it, and they use your words against you. And this reminds me of Nazis during World War II, and they use gossip and squealing on their neighbors, and he said, she said. And sometime, I don't know when, but our freedoms, and it started maybe some time ago, our freedoms are slowly being taken away. We do not have to go to Russia. It came here. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
John, thank you for the call from Michigan. Let's go to Carmen in Phoenix. Carmen, you're on Crosstalk.
Hi, how are you? So, I have a movie that I'm probably going to recommend to you. I watched it about 4 weeks ago. It's called Songbird. And it actually describes the whole Immuniband thing. In that movie, they're wearing the band to say that you've been vaccinated or that you're immune to the virus. They don't exactly call it COVID-19 in that movie.
Sure. What is the name of the movie?
It's called Songbird. Songbird 2020, I believe it is.
Okay. All right. Well, we know not of that movie, nor could really comment on that. But obviously, we see the conditioning taking place. You know, you want to come into this place. You want to do business here. You must have some kind of, proof that you've had your vaccine or whatever the case may be. So, Carmen, thank you for the call. And let's quickly jump over here to Mason in Wisconsin. Thank you for the call.
God bless everybody. I just wanted to make a couple of facts poignant to everybody. One, putting a face mask on your mask is not going to save you when Jesus Christ or the Father is going to bring you home. It isn't going to do anything. But my point is the N95 mask that they wear in the operating room says right on it, that it will only filter out a particle 10 microns and larger. If you know anything about anything and been watching anything about coronavirus, it is 0.125 microns, okay? That means it's just over one point or one-tenth of 1 point. It doesn't filter nothing. I've seen a video on TV, and I've seen a video many times on the Internet where they double mask the N95, the paper, and the cloth mask, and they went outside those mornings where it's brisk and you can see your breath. It just shoots out all over. It does nothing. I am an expert. 1972 to 1977, I taught gas masks at Castle Air Force Base, 93rd Combat Support Group, 93rd Security Police Squadron, gas masks, chemical, biological, and radiation. I'm telling you here, they do nothing. It is nothing more than forcing people to do something. When you went to school at seventh grade, they told you that the virus was so small you needed an electron microscope to see it, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. The government does lie to you. How do I know? When I'm 67 years old, first, second, third, fourth, fifth grade, I believe, we had duck and cover. If anybody my age, they all know what duck and cover is. There was an atomic bomb attack. We got underneath our little desks and put our little hands on our heads, and that was going to save us from radiation.
Mason, I hopefully we've got enough of your comment there. We definitely are hearing you, and we thank you for the call. We want to quickly get one more call on here. Tim is in Waukesha. Go, Tim.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just calling about the band, the bracelets.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good idea.
Okay.
It's just a step away from the chip. Unfortunately, this is revelations happening, and all we can do is trust the Lord and be safe through that.
All right, Tim, thank you, and thank each and every one of you for calling today. So much that has, you know, we've talked about and we'll leave here for now. Friends, what is concerning your heart? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, let's think on these things.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.